Good evening. I ask you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to look at the shortest verse in the Greek New Testament. If I ask you the shortest verse in the Bible, many people would say, oh, I know that. It's Jesus wept. And that's the shortest verse in the English Bible, but the shortest verse in the Greek New Testament is found in 1 Thessalonians 5, and there are a number of rapid-fire commands given to us here, and we're going to be looking at the first one in verse 16. Won't take me long to read the text tonight. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. You know, it was just a couple of weeks ago when they marked the candy to half price. It was left over from Halloween. They started playing the Christmas music and putting out the Christmas decorations. Many people know this as the season of joy. Here we go. The season of joy. You know, I want to suggest tonight that for the believer in the Lord Jesus, there is no one season of joy. Because this verse tells us that we're to rejoice always, not just at a particular season. The Holy Spirit didn't lead Paul to say here, as frequently as you can, rejoice. He didn't say, as often as is humanly possible, rejoice. He didn't say, when you feel like rejoicing, rejoice. He said, rejoice always. To rejoice means to be glad, to take delight in. Sometimes it involves emotion, the feeling of joy. Other times it's only the expression of joy. We know that we don't always feel joyful. We understand that. But I would suggest that we do always have something about which to rejoice. I think about the word rejoice. Starts out with that prefix, R-E, again. Carries a thought in of joy. It's kind of like the thought of to joy again, to come back to that place where we realize I do have reason to express joy. I do have reason to be glad. Even if things in my life are not happy, maybe they're very sad, maybe they're very discouraging. We've had a lot of a heavy prayer request tonight, very difficult situation. And if we did unspoken request, that would express an even greater amount to a deeper level of sadness and difficulty. But I would suggest that when we come to a verse like this and we're told to rejoice always, that the key is to reflect on what should delight us and what can delight us all the time. I can always find reason to be glad when I reflect on the Lord. You know Philippians 4:4, it's another verse that has these same two Greek words in it, rejoice always, but in between those Greek words in our Bible, it says this, in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. I think I have that verse up here. There it is. One other verse I want to mention very quickly before we really get into some shotgun verses. And all the multitude rejoiced, that's the word, that we have in the Greek. This is about the Lord Jesus. And all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by Him. And I think that can kind of sum it up pretty well. I always have reason to rejoice because of all the glorious things that He has done. And actually, in the Greek, the thought here is the glorious things He is doing. He's doing. It's not just what He's done in the past, even though we can rejoice a long time on that. But we can rejoice in what He's doing right now. Now, something that was very interesting as I studied this word, the Greek word for rejoice, as I looked at it throughout the New Testament, there are a number of places that it's used. And one of the, I'm just going to mention this real quick on the sidebar, because this one, I really appreciate Luke 10:20, where the Lord Jesus tells us to rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. If you don't think you have anything else to rejoice about, if you're saved, then you can rejoice because your name is written in heaven. But what I want to focus on tonight is what I found, that the bulk of these verses, the overwhelming majority of the verses that use this word rejoice, really talk about what God is doing in the life of other people. And that really struck me. You know what it told me? If I will get my eyes off of myself and onto what God is doing in the lives of other people, I will have a reason to rejoice. No matter what is happening in my life, no matter how difficult I may feel like I have it, no matter what I say is not the reason for me to rejoice, I can always look and see what God is doing in the lives of others. And therefore, I would be able to rejoice. So we're going to look rapid fire. I've got 16 verses. 16 men are going to read these 16 verses, and we have 10 minutes. So 16 verses with my brief comments on each one of them. So here we go. We're going to, and these all talk about rejoicing. Sometimes you'll hear the word glad, same word in the Greek, but all these have this word. That we have in our rejoice always. And they all have to do about what God is doing in the lives of others. So first of all, John 11, verses 14 and 15. Right. He was glad. The Lord Jesus rejoiced that He was not there to keep Lazarus from dying. Why? That they might believe. And you see, we can rejoice when we see God working in the lives of others and we see them responding in faith, even when heartache is involved. Even if sorrow and even death. When we know that other people are hearing the gospel, and that they have a chance to respond in faith to the gospel, even through the death of someone, we can rejoice in that. We can rejoice in that. Acts 11, 23. Be ready if you got Acts 11, 23. Right. There's Barnabas. He came and he saw the grace of God. He saw God's grace working in the lives of others. He wasn't sure what he was going to find when he got there. He was sent there, so there was uncertainty involved. But even with that uncertainty involved, when he was able to go in a group of people and see God's grace at work, people that he didn't expect to respond to the gospel. Can you think of anybody like that? That you know of that has responded to the gospel? If you can't think of anybody, just look at me. Or look to the left and look to the right and you see the grace of God working in people's lives, because none of us deserve salvation. It's a gift to every one of us. And we can look at each other and rejoice. I see the grace of God at work. Okay, Acts 15, verses 30 and 31. Okay. Encouraging communication from others, even when there's controversy involved. That was the setting here. Controversy involved, a lot of question, but they received this encouraging communication. You know, and we can rejoice in that. There are a lot of things controversial going on, even within the church, but then someone comes and gives us a word of encouragement. Rejoice in that. Okay, here we go. Romans 12, 15. We got to really get the move on. Here we go. Romans 12, 15. Okay. All right. How many others? Y'all memorize your verse like Dave did? Very good. All right. All right. Rejoicing at the joy of others, even when weeping is involved. You know, as I weep with someone, you know, there's somebody else that's rejoicing. And I can find joy in their joy. In spite, it doesn't mean that everybody's going to be happy. It doesn't mean that nobody's going to be weeping. But while the weeping's going on, I can rejoice that there are others who are rejoicing. Romans 16, 19. He was glad on their behalf because their obedience, in spite of the division and the offenses that were going on, they were obedient. Obedient to God. And we can look around and I can see you in this room obeying the Lord. You're being obedient by being here tonight. You're gathering for prayer. I look at your obedience, I can rejoice in that. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 17 and 18. Paul was rejoicing because these men came and they supplied what was lacking. So even when there's delay involved in what I'm looking for or praying for, when I see God providing through His people, I can rejoice. I can rejoice. Okay, next verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 6 and 7. Even though conflict and fear were involved, you can look a couple verses before that and you'll see Paul said there was trouble all around. There was conflict outside, fear inside. But he said, you know, the attitude of other people encouraged me. When I heard about what your attitude was, I rejoiced in that. And our attitudes can cause others to rejoice. And I hope that you can think of somebody you can look at right now and think, hey, I appreciate their attitude. And I rejoice in what God is doing in that person's life, that they're able to have that kind of attitude in a difficult circumstance. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9. The repentance of others. When God is working in someone's heart and they are confronted, they're rebuked, they're corrected, and they repent, even if it makes them sorrowful. Yet we see the repentance, and Paul said that he rejoiced in that. Not that they were made sorry, but that they repented. They had a change of mind. Praise God for that. You can rejoice. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 9. Even though our own personal weakness may be involved, when we see the strength of others, when we see God working in the lives of others, that they're exhibiting strength, then we know that God is providing that. And we can rejoice in their strength. Philippians 1:18. Paul in prison, where he wasn't able to get out and share the gospel in the public square, he said, other people are doing it. Some of them have wrong motives, but you know what? I'm going to rejoice because Christ is being preached. And we can rejoice because Christ is being preached. And maybe there's places we can't get to, but we can rejoice that someone else is getting there. Let's find reason to rejoice. Philippians again, chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Paul rejoiced that he could be poured out, that he could invest, that he could sacrifice himself for the spiritual well-being of others, even though it was going to cost him. He said, when I see the opportunity, God working in your service, your sacrifice and service of your faith, then I rejoice in that, to be able to be poured out, to be a part of that. Philippians chapter 2, 27 and 28. Epaphroditus was sick. They thought he was going to die. He was very close to death. But then God raised him up, and God brought healing even when this serious sickness was involved. And Paul said, now when you see him, you're going to be able to rejoice. And we prayed about a lot of sick people tonight. We've seen a lot of sick people raised up. There are people in this room tonight that have been on, that have been prayed for on Wednesday nights, and you're here tonight. And we can rejoice in what God is doing. Philippians 4 and verse 10. Even when need is involved, and when we hurt because there's need, a brother was praying the night about those who are truly in need. And yet when we see God working in hearts and people responding with a true care that comes from the Lord Jesus, we can rejoice in that, that people do care. And maybe we say, well, they don't care about me. Well, they probably do, but look and see who they do care about and rejoice anyway. It's not about us. It's about looking out and seeing God working in the lives of others. Colossians 1:24, almost done here. Paul said that he could rejoice even in his suffering. Even when affliction was involved for him, if he was suffering for the benefit of other believers, he said, I'm willing to suffer. And I'm not just going to be willing, I'm going to rejoice in that. Rejoice just like the early Christians. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus. Colossians 2:5. Right. Rejoicing. When we see God working in the lives of others, that they're persevering. Even when, as was true in Colossae, deceit was involved. People were trying to deceive them with persuasive words. Yet they were standing fast. They were standing firm. They were orderly. It's a military term. They were keeping ranks and staying steadfast. And when we see that, when we see believers standing for the truth, we can rejoice in that. One final verse, 3 John, verse 3. All right, I think, was that 1 John or 3 John? Was that 3 John? Maybe I put the wrong reference there. Let me check that. He still rejoiced. Here we go. That's right. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. That's the verse that I meant to do. So he rejoiced at the walk of others. Even though there was evil involved, don't imitate what is evil, he said later in the book, but imitate what is good. And when he saw people living a lifestyle of truth in accordance with the Word of God, he said, I rejoice in that. So bottom line, if I take my eyes off myself and I put my eyes onto what God is doing in the life of others, the lives of others. Again, I'm not looking at them to try to pick them apart and see what they're doing right and wrong. That's not the purpose of looking at them. I'm looking at you to see what is God doing in your life. And when I see God working in your life, I can rejoice in that. And so no matter how difficult my life might be in my mind, I can look at you and I can find reason to rejoice. I'm going to encourage you to do that. Here's a lot of things that we see God doing in the lives of people, and there's a lot more, but there's some things for us to meditate on. So I trust that that'll be an encouragement to you, because, hey, it's the season to rejoice. All right? The season of joy every day. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for not only commanding us to always rejoice, but Father, You've given us so much reason to rejoice. Our names are written in heaven. We're going to see Your Son one day. And Father, You're doing so much in the lives of other people that we often overlook, and we don't stop to reflect and see what You're doing in the lives of others. Help us to do that and to give You the glory and to rejoice in that, no matter how difficult things may seem for us. So we praise You for Your grace. We thank You for the strength that we have by the Holy Spirit. And we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Let's say it together. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. All right. Everybody can quote at least one verse now.